up, Chicago? That's right. It is Monday, May 15th, 2017, and Ticket Limits Off is on the air live from the Westside Studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And man, we got a show for you today. I'm excited, man. Look, it's the day after Mother's Day, man, and we got a good show for you all on today. I'm excited. Hey, today's topic is going to be hot. Y'all ready for this? I hope y'all ready for this. It's going to be good. Today's topic is ridiculous. Watch this. Five church outreach shifts that any church can make. Five church outreach. Well, you have a sound? You probably just did something to hear. Five church outreach. They don't? Oh, okay, well, all right. Five church outreach options that we can, because I got sound, so that we can do that any church can make. So that's the topic today, man. It's going to be good. I will check on that. And let me get out of my mind and like to be a part of today's show. If you're already listening on the line, simply push 1, and you can be a part of today's broadcast. If you are listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. If you are on social media, check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. We'd love to hear from you. If you are on Twitter, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. We'd love to hear from you that way. If you want to email the show, email us, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Again, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Okay, we are still seeing y'all over there. Also, if you want to subscribe to our podcast, simply go to iTunes.com. You can go to any iTunes account, your Stitcher account, your Blogger account. You can download the podcast by any of those mediums. If you want to watch us, Ustream.tv, you can find us there. And then Facebook Live, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. We will definitely get with you. I understand there's some issues on the Facebook Live sound. Just waiting to figure out what's going on with that, because we didn't do that different over here. So just waiting to figure out what's going on with that. But looking at, we're going to take a real quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump into today's conversation. It's going to be good. Y'all stay blessed, man. We'll be right back. TTLO. Let's go.
Well, when I think of His grace and His mercy, just one word comes to mind, and that word is amazing. Company? Yeah.
No, he's
grace is amazing.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I want one more.
Can't even say the man's name because you start fixing stuff. But I'm the only good pastor from the First Baptist Church on the South Side of Chicago. That's what he's supposed to be up there. Oh, then he's going to change it. Okay. So I change it. Well, you broke it or something.
I was trying to figure out which one it was.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was probably that.
Anyway, you got to stay, man. How you feeling?
I'm good, man. How was your day?
Man, it was good. I got a chance to spend with my
granny and my mom.
Okay, good. Yeah. Church was good.
Mm-hmm.
The Mother's Day brunch was good.
Yeah, I wanted to ask how far was Saturday, right? How was the turnout?
It was good. It was a good turnout. My whole life. I did a lot of the cooking, so
right.
It was good.
So what was on the menu, Doc?
Grits. Eggs.
Okay, I'm sorry, can brunch. I'm thinking there.
You said sit.
Turkey back in. Okay.
Turkey sausage, regular sausage,
mm-hmm.
The rice, but whoever made it, it just couldn't get right. pancakes, waffles, salmon, croquettes, ambrosia.
She put too much rice in the pan.
That's because rice ain't got no business with that.
She put too much in the pan.
Okay. And ambrosia, lemon berry pie.
Okay.
Fruit trees. Man, it was a whole syrup from, man. It was really nice.
Okay.
Really nice. It was good to see. And then the mothers, they came with their hats and pearls on, so I was ready to see that because I wanted to see somebody mess up. But, you know, they had a good showing.
I should have took some pictures of that. I should have took some pictures. Oh, my God. You did? I went at home, so I can't ask them. You know, you want other people's tips? You got to act like you got some fans. Did they show out? It was like, sat right next to me. had social feel on that.
Oh, my God.
And if I never know what social feel looked like, you know, when they redid it,
oh, my God.
That's sat right next to me. Now, wait, my phone was ringing during the whole service.
That's like, crazy.
Somebody
was trying to call and tell her to take off.
Mad. Well, you're telling her to come home.
That's hilarious. Man, that's hilarious.
Thank God. Oh, God.
Have a good day, man, overall. I appreciate, man, what type of mother are you?
Oh,
and I
okay.
talked about three Bible characters. One that a lot of people overlook is Herodias, King Herod's wife.
Okay.
Made her daughter Salome dance for him so she can behead John the Baptist.
Right, right.
And the matter of fact, I do believe that's probably recorded the first trip in the Bible. Because she was, she had several layers of clothing on, and she pretty much stripped out early for her stepfather. First strip in the Bible, that's pretty much.
That's what's going on?
Yeah, pretty much. That's, I mean, it, you know,
what's going on with that?
No, I'm not saying what goes on in this world today, actually, in the Bible, man. But she sent her daughter off on her husband. John the Baptist, he was preaching the gospel, and they was fighting, Kate, and she was married to her current husband, brother, so she had her brother-in-law, and I come to find out deep in the roots of it, that was not her uncle, so it was she had access and adultery going on, so John didn't hope that to take place. He was going to preach the gospel. So because John exposed them, I mean, sinful acts, she wanted to get the man killed, and so she knew what it would take for King Herod to get turned up, if you want to call it. It was his birthday. He had friends over, and she got a bad daughter. And so the old daughter started dancing. The Bible says she had on seven layers of clothes, and she took all them layers off until she had on little or nothing. That sounds like to me she was a, yeah, you know what I'm saying? And so, because she danced so well, the king said, you can have whatever you want.
Uh-huh.
So she went to the mom and asked the mom, said, well, my stepdaddy said I can have whatever I want. So the mom said, well, since that's the case, I want you to tell him to behead John the Baptist. So then we talked about the two prostitutes. They had the baby, and one slept on the baby, and her baby died, and she swapped babies in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And the mother went to the king and said, no, let the baby know. She knew she had her, because that was her child.
Right.
And then we talked about Hannah. Hannah couldn't die, but because of she trusted the Lord, found favor, and she gave the Lord back that was the promise.
Right.
Was in her womb. So I talked about three different types of mothers.
Okay.
And my question was, what type of mother are you?
That's good.
We have to talk about how. What this world is going up to, these mothers and how they're killing their kids and all that stuff,
yeah.
And sending their kids off and do some strings for a piece of change, that stuff is in the Bible.
Yeah.
And so the question, I had to ask the question, and I have to tell the people, you know, I'm not, just because it's Mother's Day, I'm not going to sit up and say every woman, every mother is a good mother.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just reality.
Well, I'm going to tell you like this, man. The Reverend good doctor, Marvin Ellis Smiley.
Oh, my God. Oh, he wants to get it.
Yes, first of all, right, man, prayers out to Pastor Riley. He tore some ligaments in his knee, man.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah, man.
He fell down the stairs.
Yeah, I was just telling him, man, he took a Facebook selfie. I just said self-book.
Y'all don't even say that. Because you've been asking yourself. I just said self-book.
And that was the accident.
Now, you said it was confident.
I did, too.
Oh, my God.
See, that's what makes sense.
Oh,
listen, you like slapped myself at the end. That was crazy.
I
see the Facebook post that he did that. And I was inbox and said, man, you taking a picture with your drawers on, man. He showed his knee, but then I know him on those shorts around. They was too tight. I was laughing so hard, but yeah, he did turn up a ligament, man. Do he have crutches?
He came in on a walker.
Uh-huh.
And then he used the cane.
Wow.
To get up into the pulpit.
Wow.
So now he comes down towards the end of prison. But he didn't actually come down really until his office staff in the brick.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. But let me tell y'all something. That man preached He used Samuel as his reference yesterday.
Okay.
But he preached this sermon called Hannah's Prayer.
Oh,
my God.
Oh,
my God. Let me tell you something. He put so much stuff, man. He put so much stuff out there for folk. He said, he talked about Hannah lending God, lending Samuel
to God.
To God.
Wow.
Then he said, look at it this way. He said, some of y'all was born into some bad spots.
Wow.
He said, but somebody else might have raised you because your mama could.
Wow, Moses.
Watch. So then he said, even if you got the worst mom, he said, you still got to thank God for her giving you life. She ain't done nothing else. Look here, man. Then he went on in. So then he asked the question, how many of y'all's mamas are still living? So folks raised their hand. Then he said, how many of y'all were raised by a grandmother or an aunt or something?
All
folks raised their hand. Then he said, how many of y'all were adopted?
Ooh, my God.
So then you had a bunch of folks raised their hand, right? Then he said, how many of y'all's mamas are no longer here?
Wow.
And man, when the folks raised their hand, he said, now, those of you who have your mother still living, raise your hand. He said, now you look at the ones whose mamas are gone. He said, look at the expressions on their face. And everybody whose mama gone was bawling. He said, now don't you think they wish they still had their mama?
Wow.
He said, so I don't care how bad your mama is. I don't care how terrible she is. I don't care how messy she is. He said, you ought to still thank God
for your mama.
Man, I was mad.
For your mama.
My God, he preached that thing yesterday. I said,
you know that it was so good about that, man. And man, that was good, man.
He preached that thing yesterday.
When you look at the things that mama did for you.
Yeah.
You know, and because of the sake of time, because our worship was kind of good, we got a new addition.
Oh, okay.
And
praise God.
They started playing shouting noise, which my church had missed. So
I got a little bump going on.
Well, they was bumping off beat, and it was they was trying to get it in, but you know, hey, we got to do something like some of the other churches got to have bump rehearsal. So
you know what,
the fact that they was on beat, that means it was authentic.
You
know, that's right.
Three folks on the same step on the same road.
No. You know, when you look at a mother, man, and when you look at how, and I was talking about this yesterday in my message,
mm-hmm.
a mother is the only person in the world know how to make everything feel better.
Wow.
That's good. That's good.
When you cut your hand, whether it's a paper cut
mm-hmm.
or cut it alive.
Mm-hmm.
If mama take it and put a band-aid and kiss it,
even though it's still hurting, you still
think it feel better.
Yeah.
Scrape your knee, mama, even though she can put some peroxide or some alcohol on it, it can burn more. Just because mama did it, it feels much better. If mama could go into the hospital with you and perform any surgery that the doctor or surgeons was considered to do it.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, mentally, it would feel better because mama did it.
Yeah.
I don't recall that nobody can say that mama cooked the bed meal.
No, that doesn't feel good.
I mean, yeah, they do, but I'm saying, our kids bounce for a long time.
I know some folk home.
Oh, okay.
They know it, too.
They tell me.
Oh, okay.
And mama know it, too.
Oh, okay.
But you keep trying.
Okay.
Yeah.
But,
you know, when I looked at it, you know, I thought about it. What my grandmother used to cook, that's the only meal we ate. You know.
Right.
There was no coming back.
Right.
But that was Christmas.
And
she died, you had to go in the kitchen
and try to find something else.
when I was with my mom, when I was a young kid, there's certain meals. My mom was good with chicken, rice, red beans, and cornbread and stuff. Mama was good with oxtails. And so when mama departed for a while, and I had to move with grandma, it was like, man, you got this mama cooking, because my mama cooking, we were always able to get seconds. With grandma cooking, it was so many of us that we couldn't come back and get seconds.
Oh, wow.
It was too many to get seconds. So, and then if you weren't in the house when it was time to eat, you just didn't eat.
Oh.
Seriously.
Oh.
If there wasn't in the house, well, it was time to eat.
Oh.
You didn't eat.
Okay.
And she, and I don't know about if anybody else out here, but when that kitchen light was turned off, that was it. That was it. When the kitchen light turned off and the dish and the dish that you wash it in was turned open. That's it.
Wow.
She don't want to see another drop. Or if you got to get some water, you got to go to the washroom this one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yes.
So Mother's Day was good. Oh, and man, it's always good to see. Oh, I got three mothers at the church.
Okay.
I call them.
You got mothers like
She came.
Right.
Came.
Oh, wow. Okay.
She came, and I'm always excited some other black men.
Mm-hmm.
She came. Actually came to the brunch, and then she also came to service yesterday, so we said to God be the glory for Mother Blackman, Mother Bailey, Mother Flemings. It's always good to have all five of those ladies.
Mm-hmm.
In the it's just something about having their presence there. I just believe the oil, no matter if it's a house full or 10 people,
mm-hmm.
I believe when they in that house that the Lord will move. And man, we had a good time yesterday. We really did.
That's good, man. That's awesome. That's awesome. I hope everybody else had a great Mother's Day weekend. Man, I was out yesterday, man. Look, man, I spent all day.
I took pictures, man. Now, where did y'all go for dinner?
Divine Seafood Estate. Right there, downtown.
Right.
I can't stay in downtown.
It's right across from Costco.
Yeah, I know exactly. Literally across from the Costco, sitting at the corner. Yeah, sitting in the line. And for years, I drove past it. And actually, it was fun. It's funny. It was Devon who first told me about this.
Oh, wow. Of course, he got
it. Right. So, but man, it was great, man. It was good. Shout out to keep praying for Brother McCurtis. He was supposed to actually come out yesterday, but his back started bothering him. Because my wife had a conversation for all four, but his wife was taking her mom, we're all going to hang out. And but yeah, it didn't happen, so I'm going to check on him after I get out of here today.
Yeah.
But man, the food was excellent, man. It was great. We sat there, and my mother is hilarious. Y'all pray for my mama, man, because her mind ain't quite right, you know.
Oh, boy.
So she got a jewelry doing notice.
Oh, boy.
So tell me about it yesterday. So I said, well, did you call and try to like get out of it? Do the routine. She said, yeah, they told me I'd already been excused twice already. They wouldn't excuse me no more. I said, see. So I told her, I said, you should have did Martin Lawrence. She goes today. She said, I had to be downtown. She had to be downtown today at 8:30.
Oh, wow.
And she said, I'm going to go. She said, yeah, she get that. So then I get a text message. Saying, let me read this text message because I got to read it just like she wrote it because she wrote it real special. She texts me this morning and says, where is it at? She said, come on, phone, stop playing. Oh, she says, pray for your only mother. That's
your only mother.
My only mother. She says, I told you about jury duty. Well, I went. My panel number was 89. They called my number at 9 o'clock. Now they done heard the two of us on a sheriff's bus and driving us to who knows where.
Oh, so she got selected.
So, of course, the first question I wanted to know, well, did you get on the right bus or did you get on the bus with the cop?
Oh, my God.
So now she done cut the phone off.
Oh, now I can't track to see where she at.
I'm like, what's going on? Like, really? So I'm assuming they probably just went, because she was downtown. They probably took her to 22 California or something to the courthouse. You can't get a program. I'm not sure why. That's y'all can hear, right?
Everybody else can hear?
Because that's the one person saying they can't hear.
I don't know what that was.
It just popped up. You know, that stuff all over my mind. It's from a vet, Quinones.
Okay.
Anyway, let me speak to the people in the room. Let me holler at y'all real quick. Brian Miller, I see you. Brian Smalls, I see you. Incredibly creative. That's Taiwan, baby. Bishop Kyle Williams, Angela Johnson, I see you. Jennifer Hitchman, what's going on? Yolanda King, Christina Madden, I see you. Antoine Little, what's up, Spank? Shawanda Bell, Tiger Strong, I see you. Danielle Carpenter, Rose Harper, I see you. Natalie Johnson, what's going on? My favorite photographer in the whole wide world. I know I missed a bunch of people because I got it when I started looking at a man. I saw Robert Kelly in there.
Williams.
Kelly,
Johnson.
Uh-huh.
Don Smalls on there. You said her.
My
Ever. Dana Miller. Tamika Craig of Hayes.
There you go.
Shaw Dixon.
Okay.
Sherry Westmoreland.
Okay.
Yolanda King.
O'Connor
Johnson.
Okay.
You did say Daniel.
Yeah, if we didn't call your name, because I just skipped it, I've been saying that on purpose. So say something to me, and we'll keep it going.
Man, we get to Clam Jumpers.
I've never been, but I heard that.
That's what, actually, I was super hyped because they tried to get the horn for the brunch.
I want to pause for a minute right here. Y'all see how he didn't jump on me when I said I ain't been to Clam Jumpers? Because he didn't get upset at all about that. Let me say I ain't never been to one.
Well,
the
hell is
that? Go ahead, come on.
It's not all that fancy. It's not all that.
Mine is fancy?
No, you don't go to fancy. I mean, you don't go to places that's not fancy. You go
to all these. That's not true. I go to all Queens all the time.
That's fancy, bro. They got fancy stuff, see? They got fancy sauce. You will argue somebody down on the Uncle Raymond sauce.
Hey,
I'll get that to fight one time.
Yeah.
Uncle Raymond sauce. Yeah. Somebody touch my sauce.
Man, they had a piece of cake, literally.
Mm-hmm. Six layers.
Yeah.
Because the chocolate.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Listen, literally, a whole table got some cake.
Wow.
One or like it's this big,
right?
And I'm not lying to you. The man brought it out, and I got there super late, and they was all 8 and 4, and I said, okay, let me do something special because I had too many ladies.
Right.
And so I got the cake. He gave it to me for free,
and
it came out in a box just like this. And man, I passed that thing around, and everybody got some of that cake, and I still was able to take 2 hours home. That was crazy, but thank God that I gave it away because I didn't want none.
That's crazy, man. I'm not a big chocolate cake person, so that's not something.
Not chocolate, but man, that thing was it's huge.
No,
it's huge. It's
bucks of dollars, huh?
But you know, I gotta say this, ladies.
So,
public service announcement.
Oh Lord, oh Lord, don't get yourself in no trouble.
No, this time I really don't care. Turn up your volume.
Oh Lord. Oh Lord.
Ladies.
look.
She warning you early. She's
well, what's her name
today? Now this is not getting me if this get me in trouble.
I can't even pronounce my name today. I don't even know what that means.
But Palaiva?
No, I ain't even gonna try.
Bobby, right.
She's smart.
Smart!
Hey, so here,
come on, what you got?
You know,
let's not try to get in trouble.
This
will help you.
I already know you're in trouble.
This will help you guys.
Come on.
Please! I know the seasons are changing. Chong Lee. Cheek and Chong. And Lee.
See?
They called him your name. And we're going to wear flip flops outside. Please, get your feet done.
Oh, I have to agree. Don't have trouble with that.
Please, I'm just trying to help somebody. Don't be wearing some nice flip flops. And what's on top of the flip flops look terrible. You know, I know everybody's not blessed with pretty feet. I know that, and I understand that. But there's no harm in soaking them bad babies. And no harm in letting Chong Lee take care of you for a little while.
Never see, you messing with that.
No, I'm just saying.
We keep going
back. No, man.
People that do feet, but go ahead.
Nail tech.
Oh, Lord,
go see a nail tech. I'm sorry. Go see a nail. You know, if you know you're not prepared to walk out without an open toe, don't do it just yet. You know, normally after Memorial Day, that's when you let free. But
so what you're saying is,
I was pulling up
if I'm discerning what you're saying correctly, I can put it into some sort of context.
Talk.
What you're saying is that you got folk walking around with summer sandals on, but their feet are still in winter condition.
Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, sir.
Walking around with summer sandals. son.
Yeah.
But with the feet.
Yeah.
The feet is still with the position.
You know how.
You still ought to be hibernating.
Man,
you know how the car in the summer, and you ain't going too high. You got to winterize.
Right.
You got to summarize your feet. That might,
I'm serious.
Even if that ain't a word, we're going to use that.
I think it's time to start summarizing my feet.
Right.
I mean, because when I was pulling up here, bro, I seen something that I couldn't believe I seen. Like, I really couldn't believe that I seen what I seen. And I was disturbed on what I seen.
Okay. We're going to leave it alone. We've been told to.
All right.
We've been told to move on. I'm sorry. But it's a true statement, though.
Mm.
That's okay. Let's go. Okay,
I'm done. I'm done.
But just look at your baby. Tell you, come up.
Wait. See. I did it for a while. Some men need to do some summer spoofing.
And you're right. You're absolutely right.
You said that.
Right. Come on. It's
you give me the everybody.
Open door policy. This applies for anyone.
Right.
Yeah, I play softball, and one of the most disturbing things in the world is to see a guy get out of his car with flippers on and walk around before he pulls his socks and cleats. With them toes open like, man, listen, if you don't got that type of look, let it go. I mean, I that's just one of my, I believe.
It's men and women.
I believe you ought to get your feet done, men or women. And I'm going to tell you right now, my mother told me when I got old enough to start paying my own stuff, let's get your feet.
That's right. That's right. Listen, so
we're not just buying men or women. Thank you, Paul, for this. I can't say your name.
We said men too. But listen,
I can't say your name because I don't know what that is.
So it's top line and telling men that a real man don't get pedicures. That's a lie. That's a lie, for real. Because next y'all was saying, I don't want no man feet smell like corn chips and all that.
I'm saying, I didn't want the man get a pedicure, and I want the back up with that cast blood.
Man, for real.
So I told you,
it's only why blood all at the bottom of the feet. The man, you know that stuff. You got to keep that stuff in. And I'm not trying to be funny, but I really, when I pulled it up, I said, man, did I just see what I thought I saw? And I did. You know, I think it's
eyebrows. And I asked, you know, went too far.
So yeah.
We have some about 1,000. Do you have feet tough and the nails?
I'm good for. I don't know about the eyebrow.
I've seen some dudes get nails.
Yeah. I mean, now if you got one of them type of barbers that know how to line it up,
right?
Not shape it as arching and all that.
Just line it up. Somebody help me, one of y'all on my, what is the stuff y'all put on your eyebrows? Is it mascara or is that something else?
But I see
eyeliner. No, that's not, see, down that bed, they go down here.
Oh, okay.
That's on the eye.
So they put some on eyebrows.
They actually put some on here.
Oh.
Don't tell them, put some on your eyebrows.
Am I right?
No,
some go on the eyelashes. That's on the eyelashes.
Oh.
Eyebrow pencil. Thank you, Danielle Kaufman.
One of your members played.
All right.
She was on something yesterday. Did that eyebrow go around here?
No, she was okay.
She got
a new brace out.
She's rocking out the brace now.
Okay.
You're thinking of specific.
Oh, okay.
Eyebrow pencil.
What about the ones we draw?
Okay, let me stop.
See, man, I don't see this from that big artist.
I'm not even sure about my drawing eyebrows.
I'm done.
Hey, what's up?
Because I don't want to talk. Nobody thinks that we're talking about women. Because some of us men, we play too much.
It goes both ways.
Right.
No, some of us play too much. Like,
I saw a guy online the other day, a brother for a guy.
He's giving me
my Facebook Live.
Yeah, you know,
I think that's
right.
Yeah, they got this new sound. With man, that you can, it's like nappy hair or something that they,
what?
No, serious, like they glue it on.
Oh, no.
Oh, you hear it.
Uh-huh.
And it just look all raggedy, but then when they get through and it cuts and the shape of it, it looks like,
oh, yeah. It's
right, man. You know, if I get the chance, so what you're saying now,
I'm just going
bald.
I want you to.
Saying I keep going.
I believe this Steve Harvey used to do that or something.
No, Steve Harvey quite as a cat. Steve Harvey, if y'all ever watch, what was the show that Martin was the host? on HBO.
Def Jam.
Def Comic Jam. Yeah, Def Comic Jam. When Steve Martin was an up-and-coming comedian,
uh-huh.
he was on Def Comic Jam.
Uh-huh.
If you see right behind us, he had the box cap cut with a hole.
Oh, that is.
Right here.
Wow.
Now, how do you go from a hole right here
okay.
to no hole when he had that big box?
Yeah, right. So he was doing some of that,
gotcha.
With that spray. That fake spray that they was spraying on that wall, spraying on people had a sign with the spray
yeah.
in the hole.
Oh yeah, I was in Barbershop Friday and a man off the street. I ain't even gonna talk about because he's hilarious. He walked in and said, "Hey man, y'all get that cup the spray," and he started doing the spray. He said, "Bro, I'm getting a cup with that black spray." And Brian looked at his head. I said, "Man, you need a tent." I mean, he had so many grays up there. It just didn't. And I know, man, mine coming in too, because, man, I had to cut this down Friday because.
Oh, you did cut that
down? Oh, man, because I started having long white streaks.
You just got to deal with it, brother.
Yeah,
you
but
let it stay.
Yours come in one place.
Yeah, but yours in one place, man.
Come with it, man.
Mine was all over and I didn't look right.
You just got to let it go, man.
I look like salt and pepper.
Old people say that's wisdom.
Yeah, that's what they say.
That's what they say.
That's wisdom.
I call it stress.
I had a background on my iPad and my iPad. I didn't
put
my
back to my iPad. So look at your beard
right here.
Mine coming in right here, just like your beard.
You see, I had locks.
Uh-huh.
I had one long gray lock.
Wow.
Yeah, just straight in the top of my
head. Wow.
That's special. I know. I'm like, so what are y'all talking about grooming all the time? Please don't smile at someone. If you smile, I'm laughing.
Oh, shit. She's talking about people. I'm so glad I don't go to the barbershop. I miss going to the barbershop, though.
But I do it on my own. I cut all my stuff and stuff at home. But I miss going to the barbershop because that was like the coolest thing ever. But I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to go back on my own. When I used to get my locks done,
mm-hmm.
I saw some stuff that I didn't think me as. Now they kind of put everything online. This is before Facebook Live and everything else. But I used to go to a beauty shop to get my locks done.
Mm-hmm.
So I would get there at, 7 o'clock in the morning because I was trying to get in and out. And I never knew what the weave process actually looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I never saw that because I just saw
mm-hmm.
the after part.
Mm-hmm.
I never saw the
mm-hmm.
process.
Mm-hmm.
Man, what's the disease when you head on growth? I'm trying to tell the wrong, but I think it's called alopecia. I think that's what it's called. And it's like your head doesn't grow on the sides or something like that. There was this lady that came in, and she had a case of, I think it's called alopecia or whatever. And I was half asleep in the chair because she was already in the chair. So I'm nodding off. I saw her.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady was doing my hair. She started with this beard, started making braids
mm-hmm.
around the top of her head. I nodded off. I woke up about 45 minutes later. Old girl was draped.
Wow.
And I said to myself, I don't think I was actually supposed to ever see that. I said, this is giving out some secrets that I don't think I know. This was not, because I cut my hair in 2010. So, yeah, this was back in, 05, 06, 07. I was amazed.
Wow.
Man.
I mean, I take my hat off to women.
That's a lot of work, dog.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
I take my hat off to them because, I've seen braids look like the corner teeth for braids.
Yeah.
Circle.
Because
the barbershop I go to, they used to have a beautician in there.
Oh, so you got to see
my I got to see a lot. So I take my hat off to you guys. That's a lot of patience, man.
Anyway,
I want to talk about this real quick. I wanted to mention that. Let me find this real quick. I saw it on the news over the weekend. It just came up. It happened Friday night. A woman was charged with killing a Chicago police officer. Ran the girl into a train.
Yeah.
The girl was not in the car. She was standing up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So ran the girl, pinned her against the tree, backed up, ran over her again, then backed over her, and then drove off.
Wow. Wow.
All over some boy.
Wow.
That
boy
died.
Over the guy, it says 24-year-old woman was charged with using an SUV to ram a Chicago police officer's daughter into a tree and run her over multiple times Friday night in the Marvin Park neighborhood on the far south side. China Stapleton was charged with first-degree murder in connection with the death of 18-year-old Tatiana Monos. He was killed following an argument just after 9 p.m. on the 1400 block. South May, according to Chicago Police and the Cook County Medical Examiner's Office. Lawrence, daughter of a Chicago police officer, said they got into an argument, stated they got into the issue, they drove up on the sidewalk and ran less into a tree.
Wow.
Then the woman backed up on the SUV and ran over Lawrence at least two more times.
Overdue. Overdue. I was reading that too.
So you got two lives ruined. He is at home.
Yeah. He's gonna move on with his life.
He ain't gonna go on with his life.
Yeah.
And you done killed my child, and then you're going to jail for life.
Yep. Yep.
Unbelievable. I just can't imagine. And they said they were going back and forth. They said the feud was going back and forth earlier that day for the last couple of days on social media.
On Facebook.
Also, yeah, Facebook and what?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the crazy part. All this stuff taking place on social media.
And supposedly somebody videoed it. I'm just waiting for the video to come up.
Wow.
Yeah, somebody. Yeah, you know, unbelievable, man. It's nothing is worth the amount of violence that's going on. And this is women.
How old are they?
18 and 21, I believe. A 25-year-old woman. Yeah, the 24-year-old killed 18-year-old.
Wow. You know, I was just saying this recently, and I want people to hear this with our kids. It's amazing. No matter how we raise them, no matter how much we're praying for them, no matter how much we're doing covering them or giving them everything that they desire.
Right.
They still have a spirit of curiosity that makes them become evil, if you want to call it. I've never seen a generation like this, and it's sad because I know we're here to love our kids, we're here to support directly, but those kids are rebellious, and they're not just so much against us. It's just God, period.
Mm-hmm.
And the best thing that I can suggest is that we continue to do our part and support our kids, but we got to get them back to God.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's certain things we can't do as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how much we want to, we can't do it. I was talking about yesterday in my message how back then, when we was growing up, if our parents put our hands on us,
what
they dared us to call the police. They gave us the phone and wanted that to happen. Nowadays, we can't even discipline our kids,
mm-hmm,
because system.
Mm-hmm.
And because the system has been proven, mm-hmm, to support the kid all the way through, the kid somehow take advantage of that.
Yeah.
And so I saw a lot of kids in classrooms act crazy. I'm saying high schools, college. I mean, it's not like every kid is just doing their own thing. And I really want to know what are some of the suggestions that we as parents throw out there to try to help contain a lot of this righteous living.
Isn't part of it parenting, though? Yeah, I mean, but once in a while, but since, I mean, you look at it, and we talked about this before, when you have, you know, I use this cycle because I always use the number 15 because it's easy to keep up with the math. When you have a 15-year-old having a baby with no supervision, and then that 15-year-old then turns 30, and now that 15-year-old has a baby.
Mm-hmm.
So now you got a 30-year-old grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows how to raise nobody, so they're only going by what they know.
Mm-hmm.
You fast forward another 15 years, and that 15-year-old has a baby. Now you got a 45-year-old great-grandmama.
Mm-hmm.
45-30 still trying to go to the club.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The 15-year-old is left with her own devices still trying to raise the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward another 15 years. Mm-hmm. Come on, somebody. Now you got a 60-year-old,
mm-hmm,
great-great-grandmama,
mm-hmm,
who still thinks she jazzy. You got a 45-year-old,
wow,
great-grandmother. Another 30-year-old, you know what I'm saying? And nobody has broken the cycle
along the way. So now, and because of the times that we're in, you know, our kids, the kids these days are so overly, what's the word? I think actually Tanya used this word one time. She called the kids of the day, she called them punks.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're over sanitized.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get dirty.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, you know, everything you got to do this, you got to do this. We do everything is done for them. So there's no basic stuff. They don't even have the basic skills.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And because they don't know what adversity looks like.
Yeah.
So the minute you get in a disagreement with them, instinct is to swing, fight.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, we can argue, but then we cool.
Well, tell you what, you said something too about basic skills.
Yeah.
It's because they enabled. Anytime, you know, back then, we needed set skills to operate. You know, when Granddaddy was out in the yard doing something, whether he was gardening, mowing the lawn, or what have you, you weren't standing on the back porch looking at him. You was out there working, helping him.
Mm-hmm.
Even when he was out fixing his car, you weren't just out there looking at him.
Mm-hmm.
He literally had you on a piece of cardboard and had you watching him. And so what happens with this technology that we have in this age, the first thing people automatically say is, I Google it or I YouTube it and I teach my children how to do it. And so you really don't have no training. You wait till it's broke, then you get YouTube or Google to see how you fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of having a set skill. Yeah, we don't teach soft skills anymore. We don't teach basic skills that kids need.
Yeah.
And now, you said something so good dealing with the generations now, parents in their 40s, they act like they're 12.
Now,
I know this to be a reality. I've seen some 40-year-old parents kick it, have girls' night out, boys' night out with their kids and friends.
Exactly.
And they do it to be cool, even have conversation with their kids' friend, trying to build a level. What's up, Joe? Man, trying to talk this terminology, and there's no type of separation.
Mm-hmm.
But then also, there is another a group of people that's doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
That kids are just bad inquisitive. Here it is. I just had a situation last week. 13-year-old, when we look at her, we think that she was just the nerdiest person, lamest person in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But because she felt in her mind by some girls bullying her at her school,
mm-hmm.
in order to start talking to another young boy, another ethnic group, however, the things he was saying to her, they never thought in his right mind that she was saying things in return.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, you can't trust no kid nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of them they're liable to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, don't ever think your kid is perfect. I'm serious. Don't ever think that your kid
is
not doing nothing wrong.
Right, right.
Because I'm going to be honest with you. This young lady, when I read these text messages, I said to myself, as she would do it, any kid would do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I showed you her, you look at me, she straight looked like a nerd, operate like a nerd, I mean, the whole nine, but it didn't stop her from conversing and having the type of conversation.
Right, right.
That we have.
Part of that comes from
the conversation that you have in the room when your kids are not of age. And it's like when your mom used to say, go on first off,
sure.
Go in the front,
sure.
Go outside,
sure.
Go sit on the porch.
That's right. That's true.
But see, you have kids sitting around you while you gossiping, while you're talking about folks. You got kids sitting around you doing all this, and your kids hear your lack of respect.
That's true.
For that person.
That's true.
How do you think your kids going to act?
That's true.
They might get around that person.
Yeah, that's true.
I know my mama talk about you.
I agree.
So I'm gonna talk about you too, or I'm gonna be disrespectful to you too.
I agree.
I've heard my mama talk about your dad. Your daddy ain't right.
That's right.
So we're gonna sit this over and say, I see that. I'm gonna be disrespectful too.
That's right.
And you know, I said that before at the church.
Yeah.
A lot of kids lose respect for church members, adults,
yep.
because I hear
yep.
what their parents are saying at home about the member.
And when you come to church and you want to know why that little kid don't stop running, but you tell him to stop running
exactly.
because you said it.
Exactly.
And I've been talking about you like yeah.
at the crib.
Wow.
That's why the kids these days, that's why there is this, excuse me, lack of this lack of respect.
Uh-huh.
Because there's nobody giving them, there's too much, somebody put up here and I saw it a few minutes ago, Yolanda said this earlier, overexposure. They're overexposed. They have access to everything, and there's nobody regulating anything. So unless you have these parents who are regulating everything, like, uh-huh. check your child's phone, are you
uh-huh.
checking your child's browser history, are you?
You know, do you have access to their, you know, to their Facebook page? Do you have access?
Because if you don't, you know, you could have nice Billy.
You know, Ryan is real nice in the house,
mm-hmm.
but Billy is a fool on the street.
There you go. Now, maybe you guys remember this, and maybe you can help us out, because I remember this. We had so much fear
mm-hmm.
in our elders.
Yes, we did.
They didn't have to touch us.
No,
just
stand up real quick. Come on. Come on. Yeah, we gotta see. Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it. You gotta get, come on. Fifth one. Fourth one. Come on. Sing it.
But they want to know if you're going to look through the book bag
mm-hmm.
or look through a cell phone.
Now,
the reason why they allow this happening in a cell phone because they know they're not going to look through it.
Exactly.
They know that without a doubt.
Absolutely correct.
A real kid, I'm telling you something. If they're doing something wrong, they're going to make sure they believe everything.
You didn't want your mama to find out something. You did everything possible to try to keep it behind yourself.
Yes.
Come on now.
Everything.
Now, unless your mama was a detective like mine, she.
Yeah, my mama knows my son.
Yeah.
I used to
play on Pyromaniac back in the day. Y'all played for me.
I didn't know nobody else down though. But I was like, you know, I used to give my action figures, Viking funerals.
Oh wow!
So the Viking funeral, they used to light the body and then pour out into the water.
Yeah.
So you had a metal ice tray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Old school.
Yeah. So I took a metal ice tray.
Oh my God.
Put some alcohol in it.
Oh, my God.
Put the ice cream in there. From the bathtub on the bus, I was cautious. I said, put this in there. I said, put the water in my river. See? That's how we leave little kids at home by themselves, see? First of all, I should have been at home by 7 years old by myself.
Oh, my God.
But I used to, you know, do that. And I clean up behind myself. I mean, everything, you know, I refill alcohol bottles of water so it looked like it was. I would clean up everything. She would find a broke piece of a match underneath the lady in the bathroom.
Wow.
Don't nobody fuck in the house. So she knew
you had planned the match. Wow.
Huh?
Wow.
So, but you have to check.
You really do.
You really do.
You have to.
Right. I mean, honestly, the respect level that the kid, and truth be told, and as bad as we don't want to hear this,
mm-hmm.
they mimic what they see us do.
That's exactly it.
I mean, your children, especially if they're around you, they have things.
If you see them doing some stuff, they got it from somewhere.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
got it from somewhere.
I'm going to say this with you. Especially when you have girls, and this doesn't just go for women, this goes for men as well.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not in a healthy relationship or marriage, there should be limitations on how many people you introduce your kids to.
This ain't Uncle Stone and Uncle.
No, I'm just being honest.
Your Uncle Craig.
No.
Yeah.
Right. You cannot introduce your kids
right.
And then, please, for the life of me,
mm-hmm.
don't tell your kids it's okay to date multiple people. Not today.
Okay.
Not today, because they don't know the essence of burning. And they're not, if you have not taken them on it, because half these kids call themselves falling so deep in love over as little boys, the truth be a mask. I'm telling you, now I'm reading the text message 13 year old, the Lord said, I love you. They never seen each other. He said, I love you. And she called him daddy. And he called it, and he gave her her names. Now, she just turned 13. And then, let her message, all of a sudden, I love him.
Wow.
And it's because we showed my attention. And it's just through text messages.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you got to limit that, because if they got an open door policy as a parent,
yeah,
that seed you sow it will trickle down on your kids.
That's true.
And they're going to have an open door policy that y'all don't even know it.
That's true.
And because they see this is what you do to deal or cope that stuff.
Yeah.
And we as parents, 40 and older, we can't just cope by drinking, smoking, or having multiple men and women in your environment.
Mm-hmm.
We got to find a better way to cope with your problems.
Yeah.
Because Trump to be told, they're watching.
I said this a bunch of times, and you know, we're always talking about the violence issues and stuff like that, and especially dealing with single mothers. Or even fathers, for that example. When you have the lifestyle you're living, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
Before you get in the car with your child, if you're a single mother and you're going and your son's father is picking it all up, but you know he's doing dirt in the street, you're putting everybody's life in danger. When you get in that car.
Yeah.
Because you know the lifestyle.
Yeah.
And then the kid sees the lifestyle. You know, you're smoking in the car with your kid in the back seat. You're in the house smoking.
Whether it's a regular cigarette or if it's a joint.
You're smoking weed in the crib. You're drinking heavily in the crib.
You know what? Here's the deal. Only thing I ever saw my mother drink, and my mother really can't drink, was a wine cooler. And literally, two of them, and it's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
So, you know what I'm saying? Now, I was around people who drank, because our niggas drank. They had card parties, and they drank. They had me sip off of, you know, the old man to say, go get a glass of refrigerator. Open it up for me. Get you a sip. Okay, now, y'all got the business. And you did it. But I wasn't like, but there's a difference now. You know, I don't get that whole thing of, you know, if people say, well, you did that, so what's the point of me lighting up a joint and letting my kids take a puff? You stupid. See that? You see what I'm saying?
Keep it real. We did do mischievous stuff like that.
Right.
We saw a cigarette butt.
Or say like they're not a cigarette on the stove.
Yeah.
How do you light it without you did that.
Right.
But we didn't allow it to consume us.
Right.
And then take
because we had that on the control.
These cats now are allowed to do this without any supervision.
You know what you just said something that it brought back to memory. You remember they had it on Facebook Live when the girl was driving the car and the boy was in the driver's seat, a little boy was in the back seat, was her nephew,
and they shot up the car, and she survived
the baby
with the car. So
exactly.
You know, you never know who you bring the kid around just because a kid. Just because a man or even woman portray themselves to be a great individual,
right?
Don't prematurely introduce them to, especially our young ladies.
Yeah.
You don't
want to say pictures these days.
Yeah, because truth be told, young ladies don't look like
the ones when we was raised brought up.
These young ladies now, and I'm not trying to throw shade in them, but they got shapes, they hippie. Some of the young ladies now look better than older ladies. Shapes, and I'm being real. And the only way you can almost tell how old they are is when they start talking.
They open their mouth.
Yeah. Not text message because some of the older people still have the same text lingo as kids.
That's your conversation.
Yeah. So now you got to judge it based upon the conversation.
Yeah. Those are things, man, that you know, I know we got way off topic with this, but I just kind of flowed into that. But we've got a better job, man, of judging our surroundings. I don't know, Bill Smith and said this one time about his kids. He said, I trust them. They earn my trust daily.
Mm-hmm.
And when they mess up, I put it back.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'll let them have as much as they actually put out. But it says once they get to a point somehow, I know the problem back.
There you go.
Our problem is we give our cats too much leeway,
mm-hmm.
and then when we give them so much leeway for so long,
mm-hmm.
and when you do finally decide to pull them back, you go, wait a minute, but I've been doing this.
Exactly.
But you've been so disconnected from the kids
exactly.
that you didn't know this is what they were doing, and now all of a sudden it's like, well, wait a minute. How do you, you ain't been, I've been doing this for 2 or 3 years now.
Yeah. And, you know, Dana said something, and I want to make comments because she said, why is the 13-year-old even talking to boys?
Yeah.
To be honest with you, he has a great mother.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what these kids are doing when they're not around you.
Because they got a cell phone.
And she checks her phone often.
Mm-hmm.
And so happy this time she fell asleep.
Mm-hmm.
While she was
texting,
and the mother took her phone and decided to go
yeah,
right in.
Yeah,
she has a great mother.
Mm-hmm.
It's just when these kids not around you, they don't know what they're doing, and that's why I always said never say what your kid want to do, because you'll be told products of what we portray in front of everybody else is one thing,
mm-hmm.
but back then, we was bad kids too.
Everybody was just cheating us or something.
I mean, it's not that you just trying to be so reckless.
Right.
It's just things happen.
Yeah. Wow. Look, y'all, we're going to get into today's conversation. I was going to get hot real quick. We're going to jump into it. We're going to take a real quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump right into today's conversation. We're going to have 5 church outreach shifts that any church can make. We're going to jump into that, y'all. We're going to start the questions and the comments. If you got them, feel free to do so. Area code 347-934-0546. We'll be right back. That's the best of PLO.
We hope that you're enjoying today's broadcast. If you have any questions or simply would like to comment on today's show, please give us a call at 347-934-0546. Or you can reach us at 855-381-8804. We would like to hear from you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We are back. We are back. So we got this one good article, right? Simply entitled, 5 Church Outreach Shifts That Any Church Can Make. Again, 5 Church Outreach Shifts That Any Church Can Make. We're going to jump right into that with this last comment we have with you all on today. We're going to get right into that. The writer says, man, this verse is real smart.
Man, I just looked at you.
I had to
make sure
the words
on my screen have gotten a little small, but do I need, no, okay, let me blow that up a little bit. You need to get, let me up.
Yeah.
Man. Man, wait a minute.
Okay, man.
I gave you the super blind people notes.
Yes, sir.
The writer says this. He says, with culture in such a rapid state of flux, with the dominant headline being the increasingly post-Christian nature of our world, many churches are uncertain how to best respond in terms of outreach. They know they aren't reaching the unchurched as effectively as they would like, but they don't always feel comfortable trying to emulate the fast-growing models they see or hear about so much. He says, more specifically, they don't feel they can. You walk through megachurch children ministry and see built-in climbing wall in first grade room, and it's hard to know what there is to feel except envy. Fair enough. He says, so here are 5 outreach shifts that almost every church should be able to make, regardless of style or structure, tradition or denomination, that would help situate your church toward greater effectiveness at reaching the unchurched. And each one can be followed no matter your church size and no matter your budget. Number 1, change your outreach focus from Easter to Christmas Eve.
Okay.
That's something that isn't often talked about, but I'm prepared to say it is a new principle. Christmas Eve is the Super Bowl of outreach, not Easter. There are many reasons for this, and none of them have anything to do with the church. Here are 2. Number 1, an ever-increasing number of schools have scheduled their spring breaks around Easter, making Easter weekend one of the biggest suitcase weekend, travel, vacation weekends of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Easter has been effectively secularized into little more than the bunnies and Easter egg hunts, okay? Egg hunts. So why is Christmas Eve better for outreach? First, unlike Easter and the resurrection, It continues to be primarily related to the birth of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Second, it is not a suitcase night. If people travel, it is to gather with one another family members, not vacation. Third, unlike the weekend or Sunday-centric nature of Easter, Christmas Eve services can be scheduled for multiple days leading up to and including Easter, including Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth, and most important, there's a large number of unchurched people present at Christmas Eve. Undoubtedly, due to attending being more of a family event than Easter, which is viewed as more of a spiritual event. At NEEK, we routinely have larger attendance figures for our Christmas Eve services than we do our Easter services. Easter weekend is big, to be sure, and it is our second largest series of service, but it's not as big as Christmas Eve. Lessons. Quit putting all your eggs in that Easter basket and get serious about Christmas Eve.
Interesting.
That's very interesting.
Interesting.
And I believe, when you look at this, I believe this is cultural.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. Now, I do know, in order to accept Jesus' death, you have to know that he was born.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so if that was your focus on what he was saying, then I'd totally agree. So, okay, it's hard to do outreach when it's cold, number one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's hard to do outreach. When you look at Christmas, that is a family event. That's more family-oriented than Easter.
Easter is all about the church service.
Exactly.
It's not all about the gathering.
Exactly.
So I get what he's saying. You take a Christmas Eve, like this show, Christmas fell on a Sunday this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I know a lot of people who had church Saturday.
Yeah.
This year.
Yeah.
And think about this. If you started a tradition with that family, and say, because you know how many people have Christmas Eve dinners, and stuff like that. But imagine if you did, and you don't have to even be at night.
Uh-huh.
If you did a Christmas Eve service, and I get it, you have to cook and all that, but if it's for a couple of hours,
right?
And you got, because you have family already
right.
in town, they haven't even got you.
Right.
They haven't got you. The mom just comes from out of town, they'll buy them before Christmas Day.
Right.
So if they come in town, how great would it be to get that gathering?
Right.
To show them, you know what? Before we get all into the opening the presents and stuff in the morning, we're going to worship tonight.
Uh-huh.
And as a part, and then we could serve, depending on who your church is, and maybe you partner with another church.
Uh-huh.
You serve Christmas Eve dinner.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people do have Christmas Eve dinner at home, so you know what? Look, you say you're saving a whole lot of time and doing it, because you got Christmas Eve dinner and Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
So, now it's time I tell you Christmas Eve dinner, y'all ordering out anyway.
See, now this is the best term, Paul, because, And maybe some people view it different than I do. I serve God every day.
Every day.
I love the Lord, and I lift His name on high.
Yeah.
But when I'm with family, I want it to be family.
Right.
I don't want us to have to sit around and have Bible study.
No.
That has to be a creative balance.
Yeah.
And I just can't see myself Christmas Eve in church. Well, not even so much in church, even bringing it to the house, having church.
That's why I said, first of all, you're doing it's because his point was, you're going to get more unchurched people on Christmas Eve than you have on Easter. First of all, everybody's coming to church on Easter.
Yeah.
I'm going to church my mom on Easter. I'm going to see it all. And,
that's when everybody's going to church.
Yeah. But you get all these other people show up at your house.
Yeah.
Who are unchurched. So he's taking it from that space. I get exactly what you're saying, though, as far as you are not wanting to make that. But if you're going to talk about, if you're trying to reach the unchurched, then it ain't about how they see you.
Yeah, and that's true.
So then we have to say, so then you say, look, you know what, we can do presents, we can do all that, but we're going to spend these 2 hours over there. We're going to go down to the church, they serve them, then, or, you know, even if it's an opportunity to get your children to learn about service. Maybe you're doing a Christmas dinner, and you're serving the community. Like, y'all got something for Christmas Eve, right?
We still got Christmas, toy drive.
Right.
Pretty much whole month of December.
Right.
Yeah.
So you do stuff. I think you still did some on Christmas Eve, too. Didn't you Saturday night or Friday?
But Friday night.
I'll do something.
Yeah.
So, and people are still coming.
People are still coming.
So, and it gives people an opportunity to serve. It's an outreach model.
Yeah.
Now,
I don't know how many of those people came back, but you didn't press search on them.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
But again, it's talking about it's still a model for outreach.
Exactly.
It's not a model for outreach.
And you know, one of the things, and a term that we think is a bad thing, but it's not necessarily bad.
It's called gimmick.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah, and gimmick is not always presented in a bad way. It's a way of getting someone's attention.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so much a trick to get people's attention.
Gimmick is a bad word. Marketing is the bad
word. Exactly.
Yeah.
But I don't, you know, even by reading this, I'm a play on that to try to see how it bounces.
Because
you don't want to go, I mean, I guess it's
easy to do it too, depending on the time. Like this year, last year, that would be the perfect time to do it.
Perfect.
Because that's
perfect.
Because you had Christmas Day on Sunday.
Yeah.
So that Christmas Eve service, and then you could have said, you know what, we're not going to be here on Sunday.
Yeah.
We have no Christmas Eve service.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Now, this coming year, Christmas will be on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, we got Sunday.
Exactly. Christmas Eve. So,
you know,
it's not going around with. Let's keep going. We're talking about five church outreach shifts that any church can make, no matter how big or small the church. Number two says this. Drop direct mail and move to social media.
Mm-hmm.
He says, when I started Mac, nothing was better than direct mail. That was, of course, 25 years ago.
It's not better anymore.
In fact, it's often the best that can be money. It can still be effective if targeted towards new residents or specific demographics. But the more specific direct mail becomes, the more expensive it becomes. And please, don't even think about an ad on the church page or my newspaper. You are after the unchurched, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says, a better use of your marketing efforts is online, such as ads on Pandora, or even better, through the targeted pop-up response to Google searches, or banner ads on the websites of local subdivisions,
mm-hmm.
or the vast opportunities that exist on social media. Speaking of social media, prepare things that your attendees can share on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. And the good news for small churches, so much of this is not simply cheap, but free. With technology, almost everyone already owns. Listen, no matter what style your church may be, there is no excuse to be out of style with the media. I absolutely agree with this wholeheartedly. The dark age of just making up a bunch of flyers, can I help somebody, and grabbing a bunch of flyers and sticking them on the table downstairs inside your church hallway, that stuff is 10 years late.
Yeah.
And the time has passed.
Yeah.
Now, it has passed.
Now, the hurtful part about that,
mm-hmm.
how do you attract those in your church community?
Mm-hmm.
Because out of experience,
social media won't work.
It don't work all the time. But now I see something in here.
Yeah, because what he's saying is, if you're trying to target a specific group of people,
mm-hmm.
then you're still doing direct mail. In our case, you're still going directly
mm-hmm.
around the block and pass out your flyers. If you're buying a toy drive,
mm-hmm.
yes. Get those flyers and get 10 or 20 people, and you're sticking them in people's gates because you ain't taking cars around that stuff with the mailbox. But you stick stuff in your gate, you pass it out as you're walking.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But he's saying is, don't let that, for some people, that's their only thing they do.
Mm-hmm.
They don't believe in putting stuff. Oh, using the free items that are there.
Did you know it's illegal to put something on somebody's car too?
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Okay.
It was on their car window. That's
oh,
personal property.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
So what happened between that and the fence?
But
we were told we got some canvassing around here. We were told we could not go in the mailbox. So I told you I'm putting the fence.
I was putting it on people, individual car.
Oh.
And that's
the police officer.
Okay. However, I like what he said on here because a lot of us don't take advantage of this.
Yeah.
Such as on Pandora. You know, let's use Pandora.
You get pop-ups.
You get pop-ups.
Yeah.
And it's something we don't take advantage.
We
post it on Facebook, and Facebook got that thing called Boost.
Mm-hmm.
But you get the additional $5 to $10, but I boost it out to a much larger audience.
Do you? Okay.
Let me give you some
help.
So I have I got all these Facebook pages that myself and our producer, I can't manage it. I don't know the producer, so she's gonna be Tanya because she put a name up there that I can't pronounce. Pamela or Pamela or something. I don't know that person. That character is Pamela, Pamela. Anyway, we have these pages that we manage. It's the TTLO page, my minister Dana campaign, which is my public profile, There is the Kingdom Baptist Church Facebook page. We also partly we help manage Jody with the STV page. We have the 100 Blocks, 100 Churches page, and Boomerang another page out there. What I did for my Minister King page was when we created that page, because I really want to get rid of my personal Facebook page.
Sure.
I wanted to be gone. I know I'm gone, but Facebook won't let me separate the two,
right,
which irritates me. But I did that once I called and I started putting my quotes and stuff up there. We actually then take those quotes and we boost those quotes or those pictures and stuff out there. So we went from, what, in a year? In a year's time, from a couple hundred to 3,000 people on that paper because we marketed it. It costs like $5 or $6 to boost the page, and it targets an audience.
Uh-huh.
And watch this. It targets people. You can target a zip code.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if people got Facebook around the area that you targeted, you can target those people. I did the same thing with TTLO page. We target those people. Now, mind you, the funny part is we got people who, you know, in Bangladesh listening to the TTLO show.
Wow.
On Facebook. And then
y'all be more popular in Jamaica right now.
More popular
in Jamaica.
Really?
The Caribbean.
No, man.
Wow.
Yeah, so, okay.
Lisa King, if I took it to him.
So, watch out about the sound of the tape.
Right.
Sorry, but I'm just saying. I mean, that can't be your only marketing tool is to put the flyers on the table.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? You have to. There's so much more that you can do.
I like that though. I like that. That's my good.
Let's keep going. Number three.
Let them belong before they believe.
Uh-oh. Say that again.
Let them belong before they believe.
Ooh.
The most common way of thinking about outreach is that you get someone to believe in Jesus. Then you get them to belong to your church.
Mm.
What if I told you the new reality is the opposite? Today, people want to belong before they believe.
Mm-hmm.
They often have a lengthy adoption process as they move from spiritual and biblical illiteracy towards an understanding and acceptance of faith.
Mm-hmm.
So evaluate your outreach strategy in light of offering belonging opportunities that enable a movement towards believing.
Mm-hmm.
If you think I'm fishing for instituting a seeker service, think again.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I believe that the front door of the church is still the weekend service.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I believe the biblical 1 Corinthians 14:23, we should make sure our services are understandable to those far from God.
Mm-hmm.
But no, a full-blown seeker service strategy, which no one really does anymore anyway, is not what is at hand.
Mm-hmm.
But those doesn't mean you can't provide lots of opportunity to belong before believing.
Mm-hmm.
Example might include exploring small groups, low-key serving opportunities that don't require the embrace of Christian faith, much less membership, as well as a simple atmosphere of acceptance for those who simply want to come and serve, come and learn, come and explore. Lesson. Believing is at the end of the process, not belonging.
Wow.
Wow.
You know what? I'm going to say this. I'll go with this. I'm going to tell you why. I'll use a friend of the show, Pastor Charles King down in South Bend, Indiana. He has a group called Men Talk.
Okay.
That his church started down there, and they have one. They're actually trying to start one. I wanted to get one started here in Chicago. And the way this program works is, it's just a program where men can just come and talk.
Wow.
Now, at no time did they try to get them to join the church.
Yeah.
And what happens, as he says, he has more men who show up just to, like, release.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he says sometimes the meetings are at the church.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the meetings are at the pool hall.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the meetings are at the gym. Sometimes the meetings are at Starbucks. Sometimes the meetings are somewhere else.
Wow.
But he says this is an opportunity for them to come together. Then he says what happened was this. After about 3 or 4 months, some of the guys started popping in on Sunday to hear him actually talk in the pool. And he says, I know why they came. They wanted to see if I was the same guy who sat in the chairs, smoked a cigar, sipped a little something with them, but was I the same guy in the pulpit? What they found was, he's the same guy.
Wow.
He's the same real guy. Wow.
He says some of those guys are now deacons. Some of those guys are prominent members in this church.
That's correct.
But because they did not, he wanted them to belong before they believed. They felt like a part of the group before they got into the whole thing. And I'll use this. Reverend Bobby said this yesterday. He talked to the people that were adopted. And he said, you are the most special of all. He said, because watch this. Somebody looked at everybody else and chose him.
Wow.
So he says, even with adoption, you get to a place where they come and get you. It takes a while before you actually become a member of the family.
Wow, yeah, yeah.
But in the meantime, you're getting clothed, you're getting fed, you're getting taken care of.
Wow.
It's going to take a while before you might warm up and call that person mama.
Wow.
Or daddy. Or you ask them, is it okay that I call you? Because you're not going to do it. You're Mr. Johnson. You're Mr. Parks. They may want to call you that.
Wow.
After a while, they say, okay, wait a minute. This is not just some deal. This actually cares about me.
Wow.
And now I can start to believe what you're saying because your actions show that you actually care about
that's
me.
Good.
So I go real good with that.
That's good.
But see, we in the church make the mistake.
We do.
Do you know the Lord?
What was your conversion?
Right. Right. We want you to stand up and confess, make a public confession before God. Man, hold on, man. I want to be with you. And here's the problem with that. We'll say this to them during the invitation process. Do you believe Jesus died for you? Here's the opportunity to get it right with God. That's what I tell them. You know, here's a chance. You know, you want to go home. You might not make it by next Sunday. Okay. So they come up. They heard you.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, you know what? I want to be covered.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know about all this other stuff I do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in all that stuff. I might not even believe in all that.
Mm-hmm.
But I understood enough that I want to come where you all are,
mm-hmm.
and I want to learn more about this process.
Mm-hmm.
You can't bombard them with, but you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Wow, man, I just found out.
Man, half the people who ask those questions can give you a full description of Jesus' deity. I'm serious. And I just believe that people need to know full understanding on what they're believing.
Yeah.
Don't just do it because it sounds right.
Mm-hmm.
I believe most people fall off
mm-hmm.
because they feel forced into doing this.
Yes. And and you have to go back to what he said. He says, try putting them in low-key serving opportunities.
Low-key.
Low-key. That don't mean you just join the church, I'm going to make you a chairman of men's body. You just join the church, I'm making you a chairman of women's body. Don't you want to be over the kids' ministry? No, man, I just want to.
Now, and that's not what, because there's rights that needs to be filled. And we think because the Lord is, when somebody I'll join, our first remark is, the Lord is answering my prayers.
You pray for songs.
You pray for,
right, you pray to sing you something.
Man, number four. From reach the woman to reach the man. For decades, there have been a reality that no one owned. The church was designed for women, and as a result, that what they attracted.
Mm-hmm.
The services were for women. The music was for women. The decor was for women.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying this was intentionally. It almost as it happened by default.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong. I am completely for women in the life of the church, just not women as the life of the church in such a way that men are alienated.
Mm-hmm.
So if the church have been unduly feminized, we shouldn't wonder why there are so few men in attendance.
Wow.
Just like an African-American walking into a really white congregation might not feel comfortable returning. A man walking into a service decorated in pastel and flowers and Jesus is my boyfriend songs make not either. Coupled with this is another truth that is seldom discussed related to how the dynamics of family outreach work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a definitive study to back this up.
Mm-hmm.
Just 3+ decades of being in the game.
Mm-hmm.
If you reach the man, you reach the rest of the family.
Mm-hmm.
But if
all you do is reach the woman, you don't tend to get much further in that family.
Wow.
Beyond the children.
Wow.
And without a supportive, involved, attendant father, you don't often keep the kids long after puberty.
Mm.
Lessons. The absence of men from the life of church is legendary.
Mm-hmm.
Work on their presence, and you can change the size and scope of your church.
That's good. I have said this.
That's good.
Over and over again. If you can get and start a successful men's ministry,
that's good.
Your church will grow.
That's good.
If you can garner men to come to God in your church, and I ain't talking about the men in the church, I'm talking about just men, period. If you can get them, men bring their households to church.
Wow.
Men bring their households to church. Everybody gets up in every church.
Everybody.
And I understand mama used to drag her to church. I'm not disputing this with women. That's not the conversation. What I'm simply saying is this. When men come to church, they lead people to church. And if a man has a family at home,
yep,
and he comes to church around, it's because he's hiding from something.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
He won't walk them around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm totally honest with you.
Yeah.
You gotta have that connection where men can come and feel like, guess what? This is a place that I can actually grow.
That's,
I get what the writer is saying. You don't wanna walk in the church and it, like you said, it's pastels and flowers everywhere. There's nothing that looks like this, and you know, the men are welcome.
But it's kind of like your crib.
You know, when you have a, you know, you can tell it's a bachelor bag, you know, leather furniture.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and all that stuff. Like, ain't a woman ever been in your house?
Yeah. No,
but it's a woman's
special.
Right. You ain't got, look, the curtains is black, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, and a real man, he will investigate the place.
Yeah.
Before he brings everyone else in.
Yeah, he does.
He comes and sniffs the place out.
He does.
Sets it out. You know what? This is the place I can bring the rest of my family.
And believe it or not, that first visit, even if it's with his family,
mm-hmm.
he didn't come to hear the word.
No.
He just came to look.
He came to spy
out the land.
That's right.
So let's go help somebody. You ladies.
Mm-hmm.
As he left, his ears just keep turning.
Mm-hmm.
He's not always looking at another woman. He's looking at the atmosphere. To make sure that he's comfortable enough to not only just be his fellow, but if he's comfortable enough to stay himself.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good.
Well, you got to be able to discern the fact that when you have a, and that's the thing too. When you have more men, if you could, you'll never get, because of the body of Israel, you'll never be 50%, you'll never be half and half. But if you can get that number in the church of men, 60% women, 40% men,
uh-huh.
you'll see a big change in the church.
Wow.
The problem with a lot of the churches is 80% women.
Wow.
And 20% men.
Wow.
I don't know that long. Let's go to number five. The last one says this. Number five says, from you that they will come to you created, they will invite.
Mm-hmm.
He says, the old field of dreams mentality was that if you build something like a great weekend event, they will come. Meaning crowds of unchurched people looking for a church home. No. It was not even more. It hasn't been that way for a long time. But if you create something that your current attendees intuitively sense would be perfect for their unchurched friends, they will begin inviting them to attend. Yes, that's why I made some changes to your current service on the front end. But you might be surprised in the name that how many of them are simply qualitative and not necessarily stylistic. At NEC, yes, we work with people like our music and our style of communication, but we just as often, if not more, join the practitioner, our parking team, our signers, the guys, the first-time guests, security within our children's ministry, and most of all, friendliness. But listen, you can build it and have them come, but you can create it and have them be invited.
Wow.
He says, so there are just five things among many others that any church can take advantage of, no matter what your size, no matter what budget. So I'm going to say this, and I've said this a whole lot of times. I don't care how much cosmetic crap you do in your church building. If you're not creating an environment.
Yeah, that's good.
Come on now.
That's good.
If you're not creating an environment where people feel that they can come and flourish, they ain't coming. They ain't coming. You can put the best sound system in a place. You can get the best choir. You can get the best preacher. But if the environment does not exude that of love,
that's right.
guess what? I'll come to your event. I have no idea what I'm telling you.
And that's true. and I'll be honest with you. After reading this, I think I've experienced a lot of that.
Yeah.
Because I do have a event. Anytime I'm at an event, we have a good turnout, great turnout.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't necessarily know that someone's going to return.
Right.
Come back the next day.
Right.
Which is that Sunday. And that has happened. And so sometimes if I take a look and see what am I doing around or not, make people feel comfortable in their atmosphere.
And you got to be careful. You know, and this happens a lot in small churches.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed this. I was at Rock and Roll yesterday. So, you know, when it's a crowd, you don't see everything.
You don't. You know,
because you're trying to pay attention to the word.
Yeah.
But there's 25 of them.
Yeah.
And somebody's doing something.
Yeah.
It's going to be noticeable.
Yeah, definitely.
So you know, and you know this better than anybody, sitting in the pulpit, and if you don't have a large crowd, you'll notice everything.
Definitely.
Even when you ain't trying to pay attention.
Definitely.
You notice everything.
Definitely.
So you'll see people whispering.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you're talking.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see people leaning over, doing this. You'll see meetings over here.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the middle of praise and worship. What the hell y'all got to be so important to talk about during this?
Mm-hmm.
We're in the middle of doing this. Don't you see somebody praying? Why are you doing that?
Mm-hmm.
You can't help but notice it because it's a smile on God. Now watch this. That could have been going on yesterday when I was in Rock of Ages.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see it.
That's right.
Because it was so crowded, I'm focused on the word.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're in a small environment, the reason I bring it up is because you have to be very careful. Because the guests see it too.
They do.
See, a guest at Rock of Ages yesterday wouldn't have noticed somebody doing that about to talk it because they were surrounded by people. But when you, if me and you sitting here together, and then there's ain't nobody between us and the next 4 benches, and then the people sitting on the bench over there are constantly going to that before, at some point you're going to be like,
man, when are they going to set up?
Exactly. And that's true. Why are they talking about the preacher, preacher? Why are they talking?
So true.
And people see that, and you don't think that people notice it. That's why folks don't come back.
Man, that's, you know, that's one of the most disturbing
things
in the church. Even as when a preacher preaches,
yeah,
and you sleep, and you got doors in the house,
see you.
I ain't gonna talk about being on the front.
I
got some that snore.
Oh, snore?
I see that.
Yeah.
Man, listen, but you know, some people have conditions. Some don't.
That's different.
Yeah.
How about y'all sleep because you just use that all night?
Exactly. Exactly.
and you make it seem like I'm boring or something like.
And people look at that.
Yes.
And I have many people come to me plenty of times said that. You had a good service. I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was afraid to ask somebody anything else.
Uh-huh.
See? Because there were some times that some of our friends came and told me that they could never be a member.
See what I'm saying?
And gave me the reason why.
I have invited, you know how many people, man, the last couple times I preached here,
man,
I preached it since December.
Wow. I thought about that.
The last couple times I preached here, I had people come, and a bunch of people from Austin came, from Tiger Strong, you know, we stick together, they went out, man, I came in deep, and they was like, man, let us know next time we're preaching.
Wow.
So I invited, like, family, friends, and stuff like that, are you preaching? I was like, no, okay.
Wow.
Well, that's what next time they preach. And then I've had them send me messages to say, man, you know what, you know, y'all need to do something about X, or do something about Z, or do something about this, and one of the most poignant points that I got was a young woman who came to this church. She was driving past, and she was late for her church. When she got to her church, they got out early, so she came back here and came in. I was preaching, and she came in, and she saw me. Now, y'all don't get mad at me, but I'm gonna tell the truth. When she came in, she asked how to get to the sanctuary. Somebody was eating downstairs. The guy down there, somebody down by the door was eating chicken. And he pointed up the chicken head from a door pop-out up there. Now, mind you, ain't never been to the church before.
Wow.
Man comes upstairs and stands by the door while the usher is sitting there sitting down. You know, you don't get the churches.
The proper thing is for Usher to greet you in your program.
Yeah.
Stood there. And she said she stood there purposely until they put a program in her hand.
Wow.
Now, I didn't know her from Adam. She sought me out. She on her Facebook post. She sought me out on Instagram and sent me a direct message on Instagram to tell me I really enjoyed my service. But I want to ask you a couple questions.
Wow.
I felt like, ooh, ouch.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? People, now watch this. People see that.
Wow.
And you can say, well, the friendliest church, we do this, we do that. No.
Wow.
That's what you see. But see, people who don't know any better, they come in, they see everything. Because they have a different perspective.
Wow.
So you got to be you got to be careful with stuff like that, man. You do. You do. And like you said, and like you said, when you have a small congregation, you gotta make sure that stuff is on point.
You have to.
Because guess what? It's just like if you're singing in a group.
Mm-hmm.
If you're singing in a choir,
mm-hmm.
you can hear the wrong note.
Yeah.
You can be off for a whole verse.
Yeah.
And get it back on, it's enough people to cover you.
Yeah.
When you're singing the praise team, and you're the only teller, guess what?
Lord, let's see.
Come on, somebody. So that's all I'm saying, man. See, I love this. This
good. This is good, man. This is good.
So anyway, y'all, man, look, this has been great, man. I had fun today. This was good. Hopefully, you all, again, to all the mothers, happy belated Mother's Day. We missed everybody. I tried to get people, you know, on that Friday, right? I tried to get people a chance to call in.
They didn't.
And say something nice about their mamas.
They didn't.
Not one person. All the people online.
Wow.
All them sitting there. And I said, I know people that work and I probably wow. didn't call in or something. Wow. But y'all need to be shamed. I said, because y'all love. And I said, whether she was living or breathing, whatever. Y'all ought to be shamed about y'all. But it's all good. I saw y'all had good times on Mother's Day. It's all good. I ain't gonna bet it y'all either came in a minute. I'll give y'all another chance some other time. What y'all going on this today,
man? I got
a bunch of
right?
Two softball games today.
Yeah, I don't. Ashley Gorin is getting better. Not.
Every time you praise him, it starts dividing the clouds above you. Oh, I smell a little rain. Come on, Pastor Wyland, tell me what you think about it.
You know, Pastor Brown, the Bible says in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat, and drink, for I hear the sound of the abundance of rain.
Come on.
Can't you hear the rain?
Yeah.
I hear the rain.
I hear the rain.
In every dry and lonely place, I can hear the rain.
Hear the rain.
Clouds of the miraculous start to gather over us. Presence is so thunderous. Send your rain. Eyes are looking to the sky. Faith is at an all-time high. Lord, we pray you hear our cry. Send your rain. Send your rain. Well, 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 well. Send your rain.
Eyes are looking to the sky. Faith is at an all-time high. Lord, we pray you hear.
Come on, would you please
send your rain.
Send your rain, Lord.
Yeah.
Open up the heavens and pour out.
Send your rain, Lord.
presence is so thunderous. All we need you to do is send your rain, send your rain.
Eyes are looking to the sky. Faith is at an all-time high.
We don't, take it for granted. It's a wonderful thing, man. So hopefully I'll be glad that we can continue to serve you all. And y'all continue to pray for us, and we'll continue to pray for you to do the same. Look, if you got to drive up and down the streets in the city of Chicago, do yourself a favor. Keep your head on the swivel. Y'all stay blessed. We out of here. TPLO. Peace.